I picture Rocchio dancing around the pool with this song over the weekend. Sunglasses on, little sunscreen on the nose, little Casey and Sunshine Band blasting, margarita in one hand.
Sunscreen on the nose. One thing you don't understand about us Italians. It's already by Memorial Day. I've already burnt once, and I'm good to go. Rest of the summer, I'm clean.
You're good to go. You won't burn the rest of the time.
Nope, I'm good.
You get that one sunburn in, you're
done. One peel, I'm done.
Is that true of the Italian people? I've never heard that before.
It is.
Is it?
That's a lot saying for me, because even compared to my brothers and my sister, I pulled the German skin in the family.
And so you're not very dark.
No, not at all.
But I'm darker than you are.
But I tan. But I tan like a pro.
I got you.
My brother and my sister are the exact same way. They burn one time, and then the rest of the summer, it's just like, boom.
I wish I was that fortunate.
Clean. I mean, you still got to wear the sunscreen. You'd be smart.
That's
about
true.
It.
Absolutely.
But I'm just saying.
Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is Mike Moriel from the NHL.com. He's a staff writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Moriel NHL. Mike, how are you, sir?
What's going on, Matt? And by the way, yeah, burn once and I'm good for the rest of the summer.
So you're like that too. Okay, Mike, are you Italian?
Yeah, yes, I am.
Okay,
yeah.
So there you go. Apparently that's true of the Italians. Another advantage you guys have is not only do you have the best cuisine, but then you just sunburn once, and then you're good for the rest of summer.
We told you our food was good. I don't know why you're doubting anything else we say.
Fair point. That is an extraordinarily fair point. Mike, I know you're at the scouting combine. We'll get to that in a second, but I want to talk about game one last night between the Nashville Predators and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Probably the wildest game one the Stanley Cup Finals has seen in a long time. Pittsburgh jumps out of that 3-0 lead and then goes for over a period without a shot. And then in that time frame, Nashville ties it up, but Pittsburgh snags game one 5-3. Do you think that Nashville kind of let one go last night?
Yeah, that game really didn't make any sense, Matt. It was a game that belonged to Nashville in terms of effort, puck possession, shots on goal. I mean, the Penguins are all about finding ways to win. Nashville has to feel some level of confidence, I believe, about the performance. This was still a really good effort on their part, but, Pecorini, I'm not going to blame him on the first three goals in the first period there. And you're down two men, the power play goals are scored, and Pittsburgh's able to take advantage of the last-minute goal and the called-off goal of P.K. Subban, but the breaks just weren't going their way. And then to battle back the way they did was just incredible. But then that fourth goal there, Matt, that one, for some reason, Pecorine has trouble with the shot. It seems like teams are starting to figure out, the long-range glove, high glove. Seems like Peck is a little susceptible to that shot. It's probably a puck he wishes he had. Post-game, he says he wishes he had it. But when you look at the game, and I was watching bits and pieces of it again today, if you're Nashville, if you're a fan of Nashville, you got to be pretty proud of the effort in game one, where they had a long break after the last, victory against Anaheim. Pittsburgh a little shorter here since they went to seven games with Ottawa, but you gotta tip your hat to Nashville and that they were able to battle back, claw their way back, tie the game. So maybe they'll take that same type of approach to game two tomorrow.
Pecorine has been the best goalie in the playoffs, the NHL playoffs that we saw here in St. Louis, but his career record against the Pittsburgh Penguins is not very good. Do you think that the game last night might have been, a little bit of a confidence shatterer?
Yeah, there's plenty of talk about that, and Rene allowing those four goals on 11 shots, it was a factor at times in the Western Conference Final. Getzel's goal and one of those goals from there that's probably just outside the prime scoring area. But Scenario Arena seemed to be a little vulnerable, as I said. And you can't say he hasn't been good in the playoffs, as you said, Matt, but he seems to be vulnerable on some of those outside shots when he seems to not quite be as set in the position he should be. Getzel's shot was a pretty good one, I'll give him that. But looking ahead, I don't think it's going to bother Peke too much. He had one game in the Anaheim series where he wasn't as sharp. He allowed four goals and 26 shots in that 5-3 loss in game two. Two goals that he probably wanted back, but he bounced right back. So I expect you again.
And on the flip side, how much does that help and just build on the Penguins' confidence. It's a team that's already won Stanley Cups before, and now, despite the fact they can't get a shot off for a while, they get 12 shots off, they still score five times. You got to be feeling a little bit, you know, almost a little invincible right now if you're the Penguins.
Yeah, in a way, that's true. You know, moving forward, I think that game, in addition to getting the win, it was kind of a wake-up call to Pittsburgh. You know, the fans are happy, but, you know, they're dazed and confused and in need of a few aspirin, I would imagine. You know, that was not, it wasn't an easy win for the Penguins, guys. You know, the thing about the Penguins, though, and Coach Mike Sullivan alluded to this post-game, is that one of the strengths of Pittsburgh is their quick strike ability. They can be opportunistic and high-quality chances because they have people that can finish. And, you know, basically, that's case closed. And if you're the Predators right now, you want to play with a lead. The Predators have yet to lose a game that they've led after the second period, going 7-0 in the playoffs. Nashville's game plan works better when the opponent is chasing them. And, you know, playing with the lead has been the foundation in each of the Predators' three series wins. And I was just looking up the records before I came on with you guys. You know, the Penguins are 12-2 in the playoffs from scoring first, and Nashville is 7-2. So, you know, overall, I thought the Predators came in and played very much the way they play against the Anaheim Ducks. They were really aggressive with their forecheck. Their D were aggressive, pinching and holding in pucks. But, you know, you allow those three goals in the first period to kind of set the tone. You're down by three. You're playing catch-up the rest of the game. When you finally do catch up and you're doing a remarkable job defensively, it doesn't take much for the Penguins to come back the other way and put one home.
And Mike, you brought up the PK Subban goal that wasn't. He had a wrist shotter that that hit the net, but Sullivan, the Pittsburgh head coach Sullivan, he used the coach's challenge, and he argued that Philip Forsberg was offside. They did a review, and it turned out like his pinky toe, the one that goes wee 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 all the way home, was just over the line, making him offside, and really had no kind of effect on the play whatsoever. This is a rule that the NHL has to look at in the offseason, correct?
Yeah, they probably will. I know, you know, Department of Safety and obviously the guys over in Toronto when they're viewing this stuff, it's a tough decision. And obviously the referees on the spot have to make split second decisions before going to the video replay. It's a tough case. It's probably something that will be looked at, in the future. But I you know, I'm not going to harp on it too much. I give a lot of credit to the referees and our officials in Toronto, you know, trying to get these calls right. And let's face it, I mean, replay has done some good things here this season, throughout the course of this season, and at least getting these calls right. So,
George Hamilton, I mean, Mike Morreale from the NHL.com joining us right now on the no one got my George Hamilton joke. Come on, what's wrong with you people? You don't know who George Hamilton is? Mike does. You two don't know who George Hamilton is. You're too damn young. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line, you can follow him on Twitter at Mike Morreale NHL. I know you're in Buffalo right now for the scouting combine, and I'm reading your piece right now on NHL.com, and it sounds like defensemen are raising their stock. Tell us what you've seen so far.
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, here at the combine, you know, a lot of they're in the stages of the interviews right now. There are 104 players here this week. You got 84 of the top North American prospects, 20 of the top international prospects. They're taking their, most of the players started yesterday taking their one-on-one interviews with much of the teams. I mean, a lot of these prospects have interviews. Some of the higher end or middle tier first rounders have 27 to 28 interviews this week with a lot of the teams. And defensemen, yes. I mean, the defensemen, it seems this year's draft, Matt, is more so geared towards centers, and in particular right-handed centers, and goaltending is pretty strong too. But we all know that goaltending, goalies aren't taken in the first round necessarily in recent drafts. A run usually starts in the second round. But there are some solid defensemen in this draft class that are, you know, turning some heads. You know, Miro Heiskanen from Finland might be first off the board. Cale Makar, a real transitional east-west, north-south type player, and we all know what Nashville has been able to do defensively and grooming what they have back here. It's changed. You know, it's not like it used to be in the past where you would draft these big, lugging defensemen that could hit hard and maybe get the big shot from the point. Now you want, it doesn't matter what size these defensemen are, you want mobile guys that are going to go east-west, north-south, and a lot of the defensemen in this draft class are like that. The 5'11 stature, the six-footers. And Cale Makar fits that mold. There's been some comparisons to call Erik Karlsson, in fact. And there's another kid from Sweden, Timothy Liljegren, another player who's very fast, very mobile. I like what the defensemen on the board here. There could be as many as 7, 8. I think St. Louis, having two picks in the draft outside the 10, but two picks in the draft, maybe they can get one of those, get a top flight forward, and then even a defenseman, or go double defenseman in this draft class if they don't trade one of those picks. So I think it's a pretty solid draft. You don't have that generational star, but we've been spoiled the past two drafts with the McDavis, with the Eichels, with the Austin Matthews and Patrick Laine. So we don't have that type player in this draft class. Two top guys here, Matt, Nolan Patrick from Brandon. Obviously, he's got the pedigree, the son of Stephen Patrick, the nephew of James Patrick, who played in the NHL, and Nico Hischier of Halifax, the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. Hischier, first season in North America, over 70 points, won Rookie of the Year, won Best Prospect in the Q this year, an outstanding kid. These guys will probably go 1-2 in the draft, and then from 3 to like 15, 16 is a crapshoot. But you're right, defensemen will be off the board early and often in the first round.
The Blues with two picks in the first round, as you had mentioned, number 20 and number 27 that they got in the Kevin Shattenkirk trade from the Washington Capitals. And you said that they could possibly maybe get a defenseman, maybe two, but the position of emphasis has been center, as it is with many teams in the NHL. What kind of center do you think could be possibly there for the Blues at number 20?
Yeah, I mean, there are the kid from St. Cloud State, Ryan Poehling, is one, didn't post a lot of points. He was the youngest player in the NCAA this year, but the scouts like him for his size, his composure, what he was able to do playing against players obviously much older than him. I also think there's a Russian in the mix here. There's that Russian factor that's always, in the minds of scouts, and in this case, Bill Armstrong, but St. Louis has never shied away from drafting the Russians, and maybe with a Tarasenko in the fold, maybe a Klim Kostin, who I'm referring to, from Dynamo Moscow in Russia, would have an interest in playing for the Blues. He's 6'3", 196 pounds. He's rated number one on Central Scouting's final ranking of international skaters. A good combination of size, mobility, and puck handling skills, Matt. He's effective in traffic areas, and he's real hard to knock off the puck. So that's a center that probably be on their radar. And also Shane Bowers of Waterloo in the United States Hockey League might be in that 18 to 22 range for the St. Louis Blues. I like Bowers. He's going to be playing hockey at Boston University in the fall, played with Waterloo in the USHL this year, put up some great numbers, has great size, has shown composure. And one of the funny things, I saw Shane walking in the hallway today. And I like asking the prospects, are you getting any quirky questions, or the team scouts asking anything ridiculous? And Shane looked at me and goes, yeah. He goes, it was weird. He's like, I walk in there, I sit down, they start asking me some basic questions, and all of a sudden he hits me with, so I know you went to a visit at Boston University, so I'm curious, what bars did you hit while you were in Boston?
You usually hear that about that in the NFL combine, not the NHL combine.
So Shane's like, I says, well, what did you tell him, Shane? He's like, I told him I didn't go into any bars. That's what I told him. So,
and who's going to believe that, like, though? That, come on.
Yeah, I know. But it's questions like that. They ask you those type of questions to really get you, put you on your toes and have you thinking about what might happen. Real quick, one other real neat question. Jake Ottinger, who's rated the number one goalie among North American keepers in this draft class. He just finished out his freshman year at Boston University, has had a spectacular season. I asked him what kind of questions he was asked. He said, well, they asked me, what would be the trait the worst trait that would keep you from playing in the NHL 3-4 years down the road? What's the worst trait? So obviously you have to think about that for a minute.
Sure.
They finally said, well, there's no trait that would keep me from playing in the NHL. So these kids are smart, man, that they're on their toes. They're not robotic in their answers anymore. They know what they need to do. They know what they need to say. So credit to all of them.
I know that you are a proud member of the New Jersey High School Ice Hockey Hall of Fame, but I'm now going to make you the GM of the New Jersey Devils. You have the number one overall pick. Mike Morial, who are you taking?
I'm taking Nolan Patrick. I just like his size. He's a little bigger than Nico Hischier. I like the pedigree with who he's been, you know, learning from with dad and his uncle there. Comes from a family of athletically gifted, personnel there. And obviously he was injured this year, Matt. But last year when he played a full season, was MVP of the playoffs, did it all. I think you got to look past the injuries because you're always in projection here when you're drafting these 18-year-old players. So you have to project 3 to 4 years down the road. And I believe Nolan Patrick is a 15 to 16-year player. He's just right shot center, hard to come by. He has good finish, probably the best vision and skill set of anyone in this draft class.
The crazy thing about Nolan Patrick, correct me if the story is wrong, but I remember reading about him and finding out that he had a season where he was injured back in 2012 when he was playing in Winnipeg. He played 20 games and had almost 80 points. I understand that it's low and you always have those crazy stories when it comes to these kids, but it's a story I came across and saw 20 games and 80 points from a kid in 1 year, and I'm like, okay, these are the stories you come across with these young guns who are incredibly talented, but it's another one of those stories you run across and you're like, oh my God, this kid had to be amazing when he was playing on some of these teams.
Yeah, absolutely, and he's been compared to he's in good company. Andre Kopitar has been a good comparison. Eric Staal has been a comparison to Nolan Patrick. And the thing that I like about Nolan Patrick, too, guys, is the fact that he has an edge to his game. He's a goal scorer. He's a playmaker. Great vision, great hockey sense. But he has a little bit of a temper, and you want that. You want that in a player. You want that in a prospect, something he'll develop over time. He'll know how to maybe reel it in. It's something that you can teach, something that you can develop. And as far as Nolan Patrick goes, I believe he'll be playing in the NHL next year. I don't know for how many games or what the Devils would have planned for him, but there are just two players in this draft class, in my opinion, that will play in the NHL next year, and that's the top two here in this draft. It's Nolan Patrick and Nico Hischier. I think they both those players have the ability, you know, with the proper development and what they might do in training camp to play in the NHL next season.
Mike Morial, we appreciate your time as always, sir. Don't get that sunburn in Buffalo, though. That'd be a bad omen, man. If you get a sunburn in Buffalo, that's pretty bad. Does the sun even shine in Buffalo? I don't know. I've never been. I'm not trying to cast asparaging on the town, but, I mean, not many people say, yeah, I got this horrible sunburn in Buffalo.
It's very lovely in Buffalo right now, guys. You wouldn't believe it, but, yeah, I'm not sunbathing. I got work to do.
We appreciate your time as always, sir. Enjoy the rest of your week and enjoy the combine.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great evening.
Thank you. That is Mike Morial from the NHL.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Morial NHL.
Berger, do you think you can approximate where you were in September of 1998?
September of 1998?
Yes.
September of 1998. That 9/8/98 is when McGuire broke the home run record.
Yes.
And I was sitting on a cooler full of beer in my friend Brian Young's apartment because I was at Central Missouri State, now the University of Central Missouri. I know you were like playing tag.
No. I'm not going off
on
that.
The grade school playground.
I'm not going off that. So you said what was that day that McGuire did that you remember?
9/8/98.
Exactly? Okay, 9/8/98. 11 days later, Nolan Patrick was born.
Yes, thank you.
I'm just saying it's crazy for me too now because I'm 26 and we're talking about guys who were born when I was like 8 or 9.
Oh,
I'm
8 or 9.
I know.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Did you cut yourself shaving when you were 8 and 9?
It's so crazy when you look back and you think about the things that you were doing and this kid is about to roll into millions of dollars.
Well, guess what? It only gets worse.
It only gets worse.
Man. It only gets worse.
I'm just again. This is like the first age where I'm starting to see it. I'm starting to like feel it. I'm like, wait, this kid's 18. He's about to make millions of dollars.
Oh, wait until you start seeing players that you are the same age and they start becoming head coaches. Wait till you start seeing that.
Oh, God. Still living with them becoming Hall of Famers.
Let's head back to that 590 Show Sports Update Desk on our very own Matt Rocchio.
Earlier today, Jeb Bush announced that he is no longer interested in purchasing the Miami Marlins. The front runner now, former Republican presidential nominee's son, Tag Romney, is at the head of the group, including Major League Hall of Famers like Tom Glavine. And then Major League Baseball also announced suspensions from the Giants-Nationals fight. as Giants reliever Hunter Strickland catches a 6-game suspension and a fine, with Bryce Harper catching a 4-game suspension. In baseball action tonight, they're still scoreless in Pittsburgh, the Diamondbacks and the Pirates in the bottom of the fifth, while the Yankees have pushed their lead out to 4 over the Orioles. It's 4-0 Yankees in the top of the third. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Let's take a quick commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by the great Howard Balzer from BalzerFootball.com and the Hall of Fame show on the NFL channel on SiriusXM. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSCL.com.